This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Rock musicians long have acknowledged a heavy debt to the blues. One of the original Rolling Stones is offering a guide to the music, a book and CD called Bill Wyman's Blues Odyssey. NPR's Renee Montaigne reports.
Bill Wyman's new book is really a primer on the blues, thumbnail biographies of legendary musicians set against the history of African Americans since their arrival here as slaves. Something of a coffee table book, chock full of information.
I believe that the blues music is the roots of all popular music.
Is that why the book then?
Yeah, I tried to make it as visual as possible. We decided to make maps, which have never been done in blues books before, really. We did maps of the field recordings. We chose songs for the book, you know, real classic blues songs like Baby Please Don't Go or Frankie and Johnny or songs like that. And at the bottom, we put a timeline. All the people that have recorded it over the various years, from the 1920s to the present day, for instance, just to make it more interesting and more understandable.
And the CD that goes with the book is a sampler of the greats, known and unknown. Here, Blind Lemon Jefferson with Matchbox Blues.
I can't count the time. I don't wait to try.
The Rolling Stones, of course, have long mixed blues in with their rock and roll. Bill Wyman not only helped found the group, but played bass with the Stones for 3 decades.
Well, I'm a king, babe, buzzing around your hive.
Bill Wyman says he didn't grow up with the blues. In the England of the 40s and 50s, no one did. Wyman first heard the blues after he joined the Army, found himself stationed in Germany, and tuned into America's Armed Forces radio. The music, he remembers, was a revelation. Back in London, in the midst of forming a band with Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, Bill Wyman found the blues again.
Because there were a few people in London that swapped records, borrowed from each other. They were like gold dust. You had to import them. From America. You couldn't buy them in the shops or anything. And people had reel-to-reel tape copies of things from other people. There was about 30 or 40 people in London and probably the whole of England that was listening to blues music in 1962. And that's where I first heard it.
Was there one particular musician who just made you sit up straight and say, oh my gosh, this is the music? I mean, this is
well,
the real
first,
thing?
Yeah, the first... When we started, I started rehearsing with the beginnings of the Stones. We were playing music of Jimmy Reed, of Muddy Waters, Elmore James, Howlin' Wolf, Little Walter, and Slim Harpo, those kind of people. The first blues record I bought, when it became available in England about 6 months later, was a John Lee Hooker album. So I think on that CD I chose Boogie Chillin', obviously, because it's... a big turning point in blues music, it from the acoustic into the electric blues, and of course he created Boogie, and I think that's rather an extraordinary record.
Well, my mother loved me. She had to stay out all night long. Oh, Lord. Well, my mother loved me.
When a person new to blues would hear this song that we're listening to right now, what does one hear in that that's so special?
I was picturing him sitting with a piece of plywood on the floor and stomping his foot on it, which that sound that you hear on that record, which sounds a bit slightly like clapping. And a bit like drums in a way, it's check. He just did it, stamping with his foot and just sitting very proudly and just playing that rhythm that influenced so many bands afterwards, like Canned Heat, and many bands just took that on and created careers for themselves with his rhythms that he created. He wasn't a great musician, but he had this wonderful voice, and when he sang songs, you really believed what he was saying. He sang about
Boogie Chillin',
the great fire in Natchez and the great flood of Tupelo, Mississippi, and many events in his life, and he always sounded so sincere.
Did you ever in those days, before you became or were you able to, before you all became very, very famous as the Rolling Stones, were you ever able to go down south to Mississippi?
No, because we could never go to America until we became famous and made some money.
That is actually makes perfect sense. What am I thinking? Well, you were all still pretty young.
No, it was a revelation to us. You see, when we first went to America in 64, we suddenly realized, as we already kind of knew, that those guys were still playing in those clubs in parts of town, you know, in the south side of Chicago and places like that. Muddy Waters was there, Howlin' Wolf and Little Walter and all those people, Sonny Boy Williamson. They were playing all those clubs. But when we said, let's go to the clubs to see them, we were told, oh, no, you can't go over there. It's dangerous because there was a lot of racial problems in those days. And then when we talked to kids, the white kids, they used to say, where can we get this music, you know, and see these people? And we used to say, well, it's just across town. You know, we're bringing it to you from England, but it came from here. It came from your back door.
You know,
it sounds very bizarre now, but that's the way it was.
Well, now, it's hard to love a woman. Woman don't love you. Treat you so dirty. Don't know what to do. You're gonna miss me.
If we wanted to pick a more obscure musician,
why don't we listen to a guy called Luke Jordan? He was recording and then he vanished, or they never came back to his town to record because they took recording technology into the towns and into the fields and into jails to record the people. And if they came back the next year and the guy was out of town visiting friends, he never got recorded. So poor old Luke Jordan, who was a very talented guitarist and songwriter and a good singer, had 10 songs recorded, 1927 I think it is, and five of which have never ever been rediscovered since then. But two of them I regard as classics, and one is called Church Bell Blues, and it's been used, ideas of it have been used many times since then, so maybe we should hear that.
Low down, dirty deacon,
you
stole my gal and gone.
Low down, dirty deacon, has stole my gal and gone. It's great lyrics. My sister had them.
I did more for you, woman, way last winter. Late in the fall, man, when I scuffled through the summer. I did more for you, woman, but Lord, it never done. Came downtown and bought your good hand, and Lord had give you love.
Then he says, give me back the hat which I bought you, and the shawl which I bought you, and that on the next verse. I think it's an incredibly important music. It's just a matter of knowing who are good and who aren't good. It's the same as with every other kind of music. If you play a bad blues record to people, you can put them off of blues for life, you know. But if you play them a couple of quality tracks, they'll say, yeah, well, there's something there, you know, that's really interesting. Maybe I should listen to a bit more of this stuff.
Bill Wyman, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
You got me way down here.
Bill Wyman has been playing a lot of blues since leaving the Rolling Stones 8 years ago with his new band, The Rhythm Kings. His new book is called Bill Wyman's Blues Odyssey. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News, Los Angeles.
There's more on Bill Wyman's book on the website, npr.org. Don't call my name.